right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we start. Father, we thank you for the gathering of your saints this morning. Thank you that we can encourage one another and have fellowship with one another. I pray that your word would go forth through your Spirit. I pray that it would convict and turn hearts this morning to you. Despite my words, I pray that your truth would go forth. And I pray that we would give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is exciting and a pleasure to be able to share God's word with you this morning. And I wanted to focus on a passage of scripture in Colossians. And it's a passage that's really been on my heart. It's been convicting to me. And so I wanted to share that text with you this morning. And it's going to be in Colossians chapter 2. So if you'd turn to Colossians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 9, and it will be 9 through 15. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen. What a week filled with trials it's been for me and for many of you. As John told you, my family came down with COVID. Thankfully, I've tested negative, so don't worry. But others are not so fortunate. Others are sick. There's disease. In the last couple of days, smoke came down into the valley and reminded us of the crises that we've had in years past. There's political turmoil, political factions, wars, rumors of war, and often we can't seem to wrap our minds around all of this. And what's even worse is oftentimes we don't know what the truth is. But we can know God. We can know him. The Bible says that his words are like silver refined seven times. They are truth. We can know God through Jesus Christ. From Colossians 2:3, we read, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We can know God through Christ. And we have the hope in Christ, the hope of glory that is laid up in heaven for us. We can have that sure hope. And it's all because Christ is alive in you. Christ is in you, and that is essential to the gospel message. That is the theme of our text this morning. Chapter 2, verse 10. And you are complete, or you are filled. You are full in him. And I want us to get into the mindset this morning of knowing and holding with confidence that we are in Christ and that we are filled in him, that we don't need anything else in order to reach all of our spiritual blessings, all what we need pertaining to life and godliness in the Lord. It is all through Christ. Peter, Ephesians says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessings. We learn from Peter that we have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. We are filled in him. We have what we need for salvation, and we have what we need to live a victorious Christian life. It all comes down to being complete in him. And Paul wanted the Colossians to know this. It was so essential that he not only says you are complete in him and then finishes, he goes on to explain the why and the how we are complete in him. And so it's essential this morning, what I'll be focusing on is what Paul brings out here is the why and how we are complete in Christ. For a little context here, He says up in verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men and according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ." It was his prayer that they would be rooted, verse 7, built up and established in the faith. Paul was concerned that if they did not fully know they were in Christ, rooted and established in the faith of Jesus Christ, that they would be swayed by false teachings. And false teachers had pervaded the church. There was a whole host of false doctrines and false teachings. And the church was susceptible to that, and it usually went something like this. It was Christ plus something else. They wouldn't outwardly deny Christ, but in order to be spiritual, in order to really know God, you needed Christ and some other thing. They taught mystical things such as astrology and that angelic beings influenced affairs on earth. They worshipped angels. There was a lot of Jewish legalism, especially with circumcision. If you're circumcised, then you have a closer spiritual relationship with God. They abstained from certain foods and wouldn't touch particular things. And finally, there was a belief that what we call asceticism, where it was a harsh treatment of the body, that would bring one closer to God. If I could discipline myself enough, if I can abstain from the pleasures around me, perhaps somehow I can be closer to God. And we look at this list of things, and we think that's pretty silly. It's ridiculous. Of course those are not true. It's false teaching. But I want us to think about things perhaps that we could add. What do we add to Christ in order to be closer to God, in order to know Him, in order to have confidence in Him? Do we add things besides just being in Christ? Do we do good deeds in order to outcompete our bad? Do we subject ourselves to harsh treatment as some sort of penitence? Do we need to be political? Do we need to be a Christian plus a political party? Do we worship nature or created things in addition to Christ? Or do we just give God the praise and glory of nature? And do we need to read one more book by a Puritan author? Do we need to listen to one more sermon? Do we need to go through one more series in order to be more full in Christ? Are those things good? They absolutely are. Will they help you grow? They will. But will they make you more complete in Christ? They won't. You're as in full in Christ now as you were when you first believed. As you were in Christ in faith, so continue in faith. And that was what Paul wanted the Colossians to know. You are complete in Him. So I want to really bring out three points in this passage that Paul uses to explain the why and how we are complete in Him. And in that, you'll notice that there are three problems of the unregenerate man, or the person who is not a believer. And these problems can be turned into praises. But as we go through these three points, I want us to have that mindset that we are complete in Christ, and I know why, and I know how, as Paul taught the Colossians here. And then, as you notice, after this, verse 16, after the text that we'll focus on this morning, it is the preposition so. Once we have a full understanding of this, then we will be able to avoid false teachings. Then we will be able to live a victorious Christian life. Then we can set our mind on things above. But let's know why we are complete in Him. The first point I want to share with you this morning comes from verse 9. "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." There it is. Jesus is God. That is so important. The Greek word for fullness there is pleroma. And what it means is it is the sum total of all that God is. All of His attributes, every bit of deity from the Father is indwelt in Christ. I mean, we read from Hebrews that Jesus is the express image of the Father, the exact representation. In John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is God, full of deity. And at the appropriate time, deemed appropriate by the Father, at the right time, came to earth. He was born of woman. Christ, in the form of God and equal with God, came in the likeness of man. Jesus is the God-man. Now here's what's interesting. When you look at verse 10, some translations translate complete in him as full in him. You are full in him. And it's related, that same to the same Greek word that is used to describe the fullness of deity in Christ. We are completely filled in Christ, who is completely filled of deity in the Father. So, we know that us being in Christ brings us into direct contact with the Father. We can have a direct relationship with Him. We don't need anything else. Only God has the power to fill us, to save us, and to give us power to live godly lives. Only God, through His deity, through Christ, who is deity, can reconcile us to Himself. And so that brings up the first problem. The first problem is that, why do we need to be reconciled? Well, we learn that we are alienated from Him because of our sin. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, 21. And you, which was read for us this morning, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled. We were alienated from God because of our sin. Think of Adam and Eve in the garden when they ate the forbidden fruit. They hid from Him when God came to search for them because they knew they had done wrong. They were alienated from God. The relationship was broken. But God, in His love and His mercy, because through Christ who is deity, for it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell, Jesus, the God-man, was able to reconcile us to Himself because He was God. And that is what pleased the Father. It was the Father's plan to reconcile us through the God-man, Jesus Christ. And what was read for us this morning, right in Colossians 1:15, He's the invisible God. He is the Creator. He is eternal. He has always been. He always will be. 18, He is the head of the body. Praise God that He sent His Son, who can reconcile us. So if this is the why we are reconciled, or the why we are complete in Him and full in Him, is that Jesus is God, so we can be full in Him, then the rest of this passage here really goes on to explain the how. How are we reconciled? How are we complete in Him? Yes, Jesus is God, and how did He do that? Well, the second point here is that we are complete in Him because of our identification with Christ's work on the cross. It all comes down to the cross. It crystallizes around the cross. Jesus told His disciples, right, take up your cross and follow Me. Identify with Me in the cross. Now, there's two words in these next two verses, 11 and 12, that I want to focus on. One is circumcision and one is baptism. Kind of complicated words. But essentially, what verse 11 is saying in circumcision is that we know from the Jews, right? Circumcision was the Jewish law that allowed them to be identified with God. It set them apart. It was what God had required of them. But it was always for a spiritual purpose. All through the Old Testament, we know that God reiterates that one was righteous from the heart, not outwardly through circumcision is of the heart. In Romans, right, does not Paul tell us that circumcision is of the heart? Is of the heart. And so is in the spirit and is not in the letter. And here in verse 11, in Him you were circumcised, what? Circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So this is all spiritual. You were set apart by God, circumcised without hands, not just partly circumcised, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Your whole body was circumcised, all of your spirit, all of your heart. And through whom? By the circumcision of Christ. So we are set apart by Christ, through Christ, unto the Father. How is this? Well, look at verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism. Now, that word baptism also signifies identification. That's why when we baptize someone, right, with water, we are showing to everyone who is observing that we have been identified with Christ and identified with the cross, our death, his death, burial, and resurrection. And here, this baptism is signifying a spiritual baptism. If verse 11 talks about a spiritual circumcision made without hands, then, of course, verse 12 is talking about a baptism that is spiritual. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. But we are buried with him in baptism. We are raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I like the way that the Greek renders that phrase, buried with him and raised with him. It's the word co-buried and co-raised. It's as if we died and were buried and raised again. And spiritually we were. We were with Christ. We died, we were buried, and we were raised again. The working power of God that raised Christ thus raised us through faith. We are set apart in Christ, being identified in him. And that's why our old self, verse 11, this body of sins of ours that we had before we were believers, that is why that this flesh can be rendered inoperative or impotent with no power. We are no longer enslaved to its purposes because we are identified with Christ's death and Christ's resurrection. It's how we are complete in him. And it raises a second problem that is very evident in verse 13. We are not only alienated from God, but we are dead. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. Verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses. It's amazing that he has raised us to a newness of life because we are actually, literally, spiritually dead. We are the walking dead. Without Christ, we're not just alienated, but we are dead. Think of Adam and Eve when they were banished from the garden. Death now would come to them. Death came to all creatures because of sin. But yet this, again, the Father's infinite wise plan. Just as God saw it fitting that all the fullness of deity should dwell in Christ and reconcile the world to himself, so God made us alive through faith in Christ at the work of the cross. Look, he has made you alive together with him. God has made you alive together with Christ. It's all the Father's great love for which he had for us. Through Christ, we have to be complete in him, and we don't need anything else. And I would say probably that this next verse especially was convicting to me and hit me as I was studying through this. And it's because this forgiveness is not just some past pardon of sin. But we learn from verse 14 that he has wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. He has cleaned the slate. He has washed the board. Some translations render it the certificate of debt. We had a debt that we could not pay. And it's because we were under a law that was contrary to our very nature that we could never keep. It wasn't just the sins of the past, but it's the sins we do now and the sins we would keep on doing because we could not keep the righteous requirements of the law. But as Christ took that sin in his body on the cross, so he nailed the law to the tree. So no longer are we under the law of sin and death. So now, all of the debt that I would have racked up today and all of the debt that I would have racked up tomorrow and forever because I could not keep the law, that has been taken away. That has been nailed to the cross. It is so freeing. It is a spirit of liberty. It is so freeing to know that we were not just forgiven, but we were justified because Christ took that punishment. He took his sin in his body And he fulfilled the law. And only God, who is deity, could do that. He fulfilled the law. So now we don't have to worry about every law and rule. We don't have to worry about our list of do's and don'ts. Do not touch, do not eat. Right? We don't have to worry about that. We have to worry about what? Verse 10, and you are complete in him. We have to worry about us knowing that we are complete and full in him. That has to be our mindset. We have to live in that. And as we walk in that and walk by the Spirit, we are fulfilling the law. Romans teaches that. As you walk in the Spirit, you are fulfilling the law. Why? Because you're walking in the Spirit of Christ. You're walking in him who has already taken care of sin and who has already accomplished all the works of the law. He's perfect. So our identification with Christ's death on the cross through faith will make us complete in him. It's how we are complete in him. We have to be identified with him. We are filled in him. And anything that diminishes Christ's deity is false teaching. He was not just a good teacher or a prophet, or he was God. And so that's why anything that diminishes that deity is false teaching. We can't be complete in him. Anything that diminishes his work on the cross is false teaching. Or anything that adds to it is false teaching. You are saved by identification in Christ's work alone, in his work only. Not by good works, not by penitence or indulgences, Eucharist, baptism. None of that adds to Christ's work on the cross. You can be with the Father. You can be full in him because he died for you. And I would like to look at this last point here, verse 15. The third reason here that Paul is telling the Colossians that they are complete in him is because he has disarmed the principalities and the powers of this earth. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I love that. He made a public spectacle of them. Jesus has defeated Satan. That is why we can be complete in him. He has disarmed Satan. We know that in the end of time, all power and all rule and authority will be under his feet. He will rule. But even now, Hebrews teaches, what does Hebrews teach? It says, he has rendered Satan powerless, who had the power of death, and freed us, who lived in fear of death. And fear is a powerful force in our world today. We are afraid to die. We are afraid of disease. We are afraid of war. We are afraid of natural disasters. We are afraid. And it is a great tool that Satan has, and he wields it. He wants people to be afraid to die. And they will search for anything to keep them from that fear. Not only that, the Bible says that he is like a roaring lion roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy all who would believe in Christ and have that hope of salvation, the hope of glory. He is the father of lies, and those who don't have Christ believe the lies because they are dead in their trespasses and sins. Romans 1, right? What does Romans 1 say? That we became foolish in our speculations, and our foolish hearts were darkened. And professing to be wise, we became fools. But I love this part of the verse where he said he made a public spectacle of them, of Satan and his forces, by triumphing over them in it. And it has the idea of the Roman soldiers who would bring their captives into town and parade them around to declare their victory. In Ephesians 4, we learn that Christ ascended on high. He rose up from the grave. He was seen by witnesses, rose to heaven, and took captivity captive, Ephesians says. He triumphed over the grave and made a public spectacle of the devil. Remember the promise that Adam and Eve were given before they left the garden. One day the Messiah will come, and he will crush the head of Satan. And Jesus did just that. So why is this important? We know that we are alienated from God. We know that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Well, look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We are alienated from God. We are dead in our sins, and we are held in the power of darkness. There is a spiritual battle raging. And I had a mentor growing up who used to always say to us when he would teach, he said, I'm not as worried for the person who is struggling deeply over their sin as the person who doesn't even know there's a battle going on. Yes, we are trapped and caught in the power of darkness. The false teachers greatly enjoyed speculating and dabbling in spiritual forces. Worship of angels, there was a lot of fear of these spiritual forces, a lot of ways to try to reach God and avoid the what they thought the spiritual forces were trying to do to them. But we know in Christ, greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And we know that God will always lead us in triumph. There is no trial that is too great for the Lord. There is no temptation that He will not give us grace sufficient to overcome. God is good, and His grace is sufficient. So I ask you this morning, and I ask myself this morning, are we in Him? Are we in Him? If we have identified with Christ in His death and resurrection, if we've put our faith in Him and our trust in Him, we are in Him. We are complete in Him, and we don't need anything else. Jesus is God who reconciled you to the Father through faith, though you were alienated from Him. And you are complete. You are complete in Christ the Lord Jesus through your identification with Him at the cross, who raised you to spiritual life when you placed your faith in Him. Your sin is forgiven. Your debt is canceled. The law has been taken out of the way, and Christ has given you His righteousness. So knowing this, are you resting in His deity? Are you resting in that? Are you empowered by your freedom at the cross? Are you secure in your position of being taken out of the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of His love? If so, then let's look at verse 16 after our text again. 2:16, what is it? Start with the preposition so. Therefore, because of this, if you know this, if you know why you are complete in Christ and how you are complete in Him, then you will not be swayed by false teachers. You don't need to add anything else. You can set your mind on things above. When the trials come of life, when we don't know what is the truth, you can know you are full in Him. We can know Christ. We have the hope of glory reserved in heaven for us. And so, are you secure in resting in this? And because of this, we can set our minds on things above and know that we have everything needed for salvation, and we have everything, every spiritual blessing that we need for godly living. We are filled in Christ. And if you are not in Him, you are the opposite of complete. We talked about those three problems that we have that were brought up in Colossians. You are empty, completely empty. There's no in between. Either you're completely full in Christ or you are completely empty and devoid of spiritual life. You are alienated from God. You are enemies in your mind because of wicked works. You are dead in your trespasses and sins, and you are held in the power of darkness by the evil one. So I implore you to be reconciled to God through faith in God the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, and who will make you righteous before God, freeing you from the power of sin and the power of fear and death. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for time this morning to go through your word. Thank you for what you've taught us in Colossians. I just pray you would help us to understand what it means to be complete in you. You are full in you. Nothing needs to be added. We have such power, such position, seated in the heavenly places. And when the political storms and untruth abound, we can rest knowing that we know God. We have everything pertaining to life and godliness. So much happened at the cross. We were filled with the deed of Christ. We were forgiven of our sins and our debt was canceled. The law was fulfilled. The righteousness of Christ was given to us. Help us to identify ourselves in you at the cross. Help us to take up our cross and follow you. I pray you would help us to live a victorious Christian life, knowing that everything we need for godly living and spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.